Good evening and welcome to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson, I'm the director of the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, and you're listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. Don't forget you can also stream us live at www.guardiantalkradio.com, or if you have a smartphone, you can go to the App Store or Play Store and download the TuneIn app and carry us around with you in your ear all day long. So this evening, I have several guests on the show, and we're here to speak about something called the Bahamian Project, which was a project started in 2012, right before the 40th anniversary. And it was actually something that we had an exhibition at the National Art Gallery of, but it's a kind of much broader project. And we have several guests to speak to that tonight. And we're going to start off with... You jumped in. Lisa's pointing at Duke. Okay. Lisa doesn't want to talk. Duke Wells, who conceived... Well, the husband and wife team, Duke and Lisa Wells, conceived of this project. And since Lisa doesn't want to talk, I'm going to turn it over to Duke. So why don't you tell us about the birth of the Bahamian Project and why... why you wanted to do that, because I think it was more than just about 40 years.
Yes, thank you very much, and thanks for having us on the show tonight. The Bahamian Project, Lisa and I started it in 2012, shortly after the death of Jackson Burnside. We couldn't really find any great pictures of Jackson online or anywhere, and we were thinking how great it'd be to have some kind of a portrait project where we could capture the character and preserve the legacy of the people who really form the heart and soul of the Bahamas. So the first year or so, I took all the pictures. I took 52 images, and we had the exhibition at the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas.
We did, and it opened up right around Independence Day, more or less.
Yes, so it was part of the 40th anniversary of the Bahamas independence. And then shortly after that, I realized I would never be able to photograph all the people that we should be photographing to give a good cross-section of Bahamians. So I invited other photographers to join us, and we now have 21 photographers. We've photographed over 130 portraits, and our upcoming exhibition of 50 new images will be at the Central Bank of the Bahamas Art Gallery, and it opens Thursday, July 6th.
Which is tomorrow night.
Yes, it opens at 6 o'clock to 9 o'clock. We have... 50 pictures, plus two flat screen televisions will be broadcasting the rest of the images, the other 80 images, so that all 130 images will be available for viewing.
But I think what was really compelling about the Bahamian Project when you brought it to the National, when you first presented us with the idea of doing that exhibition, was several things. I mean, there was this idea of capturing people. I mean, for us, it was about the spirit of the Bahamas. Like, how did we speak to the spirit of the Bahamas in the celebration of 40 years without kind of just resting on the usual kind of flag waving, which, you know, is fine. But we really wanted to kind of get to the gist of, like, what makes the Bahamas outside of, obviously, the water and the sand, because that's always what we kind of focus on. And I thought this idea of focusing on people was really interesting. And I think part of the project, and I don't know whose idea this was, I don't know, it was to open it up to the public. And you had like an online thing where people could vote?
We did. Well, not so much vote, but submit names.
Submit names.
Yeah, we have on, and it's still on the website actually, where you can come on, bahamianproject.com, and submit a name of somebody that you think should be photographed for the project. And it is not about people who are well known or people who are famous or whatever. It's just about the Bahamians or people living in the Bahamas. Anybody.
And I think we talked about what exemplifies the Bahamian spirit. So I thought what was very nice in that first show, like you said, everybody wasn't... Well, first of all, there was the rule there were no politicians.
Exactly.
Right?
There's no politicians, but anybody else qualifies as long as they represent the, the positive Bahamian spirit.
So we had really people like the first ever female taxi driver.
Yes, exactly. Right.
Who I think no one
nobody
knew
knows
necessarily.
Right.
And I know that I voted for Anthony Lee, if you're listening. Hi, who's the awesome phone card vendor on Shirley Street, because, everybody knows him and he cheers everyone up every day. And it was really an interesting project because it was about the kind of range of people that makes the Bahamas so important, right? Not about just like who is quote unquote reached a certain level of success.
Exactly.
So did you continue that with this?
Oh, yes, definitely.
With the ongoing project? Are there people that are unknown to many Bahamians?
Absolutely. There's we have the full range of people, the same kind of cross-section of society, people who are very well known, but also the people who are not known to anybody, really, or people who have been sort of, who've accomplished things but fallen through the cracks and haven't gotten recognition. But it's the same cross-section that we photographed in the first.
And then also what I really liked in the one that we had at the gallery was that each portrait came with a little biography.
And we're doing that also.
That's great, because I learned so much. Like, I know from one of those biographies, I learned that cracked conch was invented by a Greek Bahamian.
Yes, that's right.
Exactly, which is something I tell people a lot now because I think it's so interesting because, again, it speaks to our cultural makeup.
Yes.
And how we are as Bahamians today, a reflection of all the different cultures and races that sort of came together in this country. So I really love that part of it. So who does all that research, or do you just ask the people themselves?
We ask the people, and we've got several photographers shooting with us now, and so some of them have been able to provide tidbits of information and there. But mostly I fill in the spaces, you know. So I'm the one who writes up the little bios. Mm-hmm. I accumulate the information from whatever sources I can get. Sometimes I speak to the people directly if they can, and we just put together little tiny bios. It's just a short little bite of information so that it's not overwhelming to read, but it just gives a taste of who this person is.
Mm-hmm.
Quite often, the information is contributed by people who are recommending subjects to be photographed online.
Exactly,
there's a little
box on
the form that says, why do you think this person should be photographed? And usually that contains some relevant information.
Mm-hmm. So I thought that was a really nice part of the project, too. And then as we sort of spoke to it, we discussed this idea that I'm just throwing out there for the government, that, in the UK and in many countries, they have a national gallery for all kinds of art, but they very often have a national portrait gallery.
Yes.
And the national portrait gallery is a place where, it started out being kings and queens and princes, but it ended up actually also being regular folk. And I think there's sort of vaguely the recognition that's needed with that row of athletes at the airport. There's this idea that people need to be recognized for their achievements.
Yes.
And I think, it sort of planted that seed that maybe one day we could look to having a national portrait gallery as well as having a national art gallery in general, which is...
Yeah, again, and I think that's the... I'm gilding Gilbert.
Hello, I was going to get to you eventually, don't worry.
One of the photographers. But that's the idea, to ultimately create a national portrait gallery.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Australia has the largest portrait gallery.
Mm-hmm.
I was in London twice this year, and on the second occasion, I did go to the National Portrait Gallery. And there's some things I sent back to Duke from that gallery, but I think it's documenting history.
Well, exactly, and I think that's also very often what people forget about us is when you just have an art gallery, people assume it's about decorative, just mm-hmm. something decorative, right? Mm-hmm. And it's what I'm trying to have really sort of everyone from the youngest school kid to the oldest resident is that every piece of work in the National Art Gallery is actually an archival document.
Yeah.
It's an archival document about the country, about the development of the country, what the subject matter is, what the medium is. They all tell the story, right, of our development culturally. They're not just pictures that are there to like make you feel happy at the end of the day or whatever.
Yeah.
They serve a much more important purpose, and I think a portrait gallery sort of communicates that in a more direct way,
mm-hmm.
and people can sort of understand the importance of it in a more direct way because they might be able to understand why memorializing a person is more important than, a corner of Mason's Edition or
indeed,
whatever.
Indeed.
Right. Although, of course, that's still really important, too, because as we saw with the Eddie Minnis show, he's captured parts of the city that have now changed irrevocably.
Mm-hmm.
And so, we have, again, this archival document through his very picturesque, very beautiful images that people just do think about as postcard artwork, but it really speaks to a moment in time mm-hmm. that we're not going to recapture.
Well, and what really intrigued me, I mean, I've been a photographer for 36 years,
mm-hmm.
but what really intrigued me about this project is my in Bermuda, there was the Royal Naval Dockyard.
Mm-hmm.
within that naval dockyard, there was an apprenticeship program.
Mm-hmm.
In the late 1940s, that program was terminated, and the dockyard apprentices, of which my father was one, he was actually the youngest apprentice, mm-hmm. were sent to the Portsmouth Dockyard in England to mm-hmm. complete their apprenticeship. There mm-hmm. were 50 of them.
Mm-hmm.
So there are pictures of them as a group.
Mm-hmm.
There are pictures of them leaving Bermuda on mm-hmm. on the steamship.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, their progress has been documented.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my father passed away 2 years ago at the age of 81. But he made sure I always took pictures of him
mm-hmm.
because it's documentation of who he is.
Mm-hmm.
It's intriguing because, you know, my father had cancer. So in looking at the portraits I took of him, I could see the impact.
You can see, of course, the ravage over time.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
But what that did, though, it created a stream of images
mm-hmm.
that my children now mm-hmm. can look back on,
mm-hmm.
you know,
sure.
in years to come and say, you know, this was my grandfather.
Yeah.
And, you know, because of the documentation of the dockyard apprentices, you know, they know, you know, what he also accomplished and the importance of the dockyard mm-hmm, apprentices mm-hmm. to their own history.
Actually an interesting question because I think, you know, with the Bahamian Project, again, I mean, we did speak to the fact that not everybody is famous, mm-hmm. but generally over the age of 40, more or less. I mean, they're more or less more established folks in whatever they're doing.
More or less. We have photographed some younger individuals. But yeah, for the most part, we do try to focus on the...
Yeah. Well, because of course, times, you know, you want to... Yeah. It all started with, again,
them.
With Jackson Burnside passing. But
right.
it's quite... What you're speaking to is something quite interesting, which is mm-hmm. capturing things before you know it's actually going to be historically
yeah.
important, right?
Exactly.
That's right.
So that's kind of opens up a whole other issue, really.
Well, that's why the exhibition is named Bright Lights and Raw Gems. The bright lights are the people that everyone knows, people
mm-hmm.
whose contributions to society have been lauded by the media and stuff, where the raw gems are people that aren't very well known, people who still exhibit a fantastic Bahamian spirit, but may not be as popular as the bright lights. So
mm-hmm.
we're trying to show that whole
or may do something that isn't considered as valuable.
Right.
Because,
yes.
of course,
right.
you know, the ideas of value that we have in our society are very
yes.
much tied with a certain
mm-hmm.
kind of success.
That's true.
Which is tied to trappings of success. And very often we don't focus on people who are successful in other ways,
mm-hmm.
right? By just being awesome human beings.
Exactly.
Maybe they're not living in a fancy house anyway. We're going to go to a quick break. But we are speaking about the Bahamian Project, which has another opening. It's the second segment of the show somehow. We started it actually third. You had one at Pop-Up about 2 years ago.
Yes.
So it's kind of an ongoing photography project. Whose aim is to sort of capture the essence of the Bahamian spirit through its people. And it started out with Duke and Lisa Wells, who I have here in the studio with me tonight. And after they realized the enormity of the project, they threw the invitation out to many, many other photographers. There's now 21 photographers participating in that. And we have one of those photographers here in the studio tonight, Gildan Gilbert, who you were hearing from just before the break. There are many more photographers who will be exhibiting work at Central Bank. I'll read those names out in the next segment. But the opening is tomorrow night in the Central Bank Art Gallery, which is on the corner of Market Street and that street where the Bahamian Kitchen is, which name I don't know. And it starts at 6 p.m.?
Yes.
6 p.m. to 9 p.m.?
6 p.m. to 9.
So I think it would be great to go out and support that. So you are listening to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson, the director of the National Art Gallery, and you're listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. We're going to be right back after this short break.